the question of war is more studied or more showed than the question of peace in the history and in the history of art. And the main aim of this exhibition is to see the history with this important link to peace. And I think it's very important today in these troubled times. Is more important in these troubled times than in other times. And the peace, it was a great link to understand the history of France, of the history of Europe, and the history of the world.
That's Gaëlle Riault, curator of the Art of Peace exhibition, which is subtitled Treasures of Diplomacy, because the French Ministry of Foreign Affairs has opened up its diplomatic archives to the public for the first time. And what you see here is more than 100 peace treaties and other documents tracing France's diplomatic role from the Middle Ages to the present day. But the exhibition begins with works of art, because while making peace can be considered an art form, it's also a subject of art itself.
The majority of paintings wanted to show the ideal of peace, victorious peace often, but also the negotiated peace. And we would like to show this evolution of the concept of the peace from the Middle Ages to the recent period, the 21st century.
Because in the Middle Ages, peace was...
Peace was an affair of families, of alliance, of marriages. There was no peace without marriages.
For example?
This painting by De Troyes was a portrait of Louis XV and Marie-Anne Victoire, the Infanta of Spain.
She's very small, huh?
Yes,
she was very young at the time.
3 years old.
She was only 3 years old. She's sitting on a chair.
Yes, and Louis XV was 11 years old. They were very young and they didn't get married. Married because Infanta was too young to bear children.
We enter a colonnaded room. Its red walls are hung with a series of allegorical paintings from the 17th to 19th century. Art more often than not extolled heroism in war, but the Italian artist Cesare Procaccini dared to celebrate peace.
This painting by Procaccini in the 16th century shows the goddess of peace who is driving out the god of war, Mars. The goddess of peace is in the light, meanwhile the god of war is in the obscurity.
In the 18th century, negotiation gradually became a professional matter, and in 1712, Colbert de Torcy, France's Minister for Foreign Affairs, founded the first school for ambassadors in Paris. The capital became a major centre for international negotiations. The Treaty of Paris in 1763, the Treaty of Versailles in 1919, the end of World War I, and of course most recently in 2015, the COP21 Paris Agreement on climate change. Paris was also the venue for discussions in which France was not involved, such as the Vietnam War Peace Conference in 1973. But as a good treaty deserves a good costume, some documents are on show for their sheer beauty.
Gail, this is a fascinating room. We have here in the exhibit cases a whole range of documents with lots of gold leaf. It's a kind of treasure chest that you're showing here.
Yes, we would like to gather in this treasure chamber the most beautiful documents to see the historical value, of course, but also the sheer beauty. They are presented like works of art.
These are letters that were sent from one diplomat to another or one king to another. There's one here that's particularly beautiful. Mm-hmm. It looks like a long piece of golden paper.
Yes, this letter was offered by the king of Siam, Rama IV, to Napoleon III, to the emperor Napoleon III and the empress Eugénie in 1861 in Fontainebleau. And it was a gift, diplomatic gift. And this letter was engraved on a gold leaf, and it was a trade agreement, a friendly letter to show the good relations between the two countries, yes. Yeah.
I guess nowadays there's less of that kind of thing in terms of diplomatic relations between countries. We no longer send letters on gold leaf.
No.
So we also have here the peace treaty between France and Germany, 1871.
Yes.
Inside this velvet-covered case.
Yes, and we can see also the box of the seal. Yes, this treaty is like a work of art, very precious. But this treaty was a failure for France because France lost Alsace-Lorraine.
The east of France, which became part of Germany.
Became a part of Germany.
So this exhibition is not all about the glory of France.
Exactly, because peace wasn't often a victory for France or for other states. And we would like to show the different forms of peace, the negotiated peace, the failed peace, and the victorious, of course, peace. Many events showed the history of peace was very contrasted.
The last part of the exhibition, entitled International Order and Disorder, brings us into the 20th and 21st centuries. It evokes the emergence of public opinion, the League of Nations, decolonisation and people's right to self-determination. 20th century treaties, such as the Élysée Treaty of 1963, which ended rivalry between France and Germany, or the 1992 Treaty of Maastricht on the European Union, are enormous tomes, thousands of pages with sober covers. Gone is the gold leaf. We've entered the technocratic age.
The exhibition shows the evolution of formal documents. I think it is interesting to see the great, the beautiful treaties of the modern period, the 16th, 17th, 18th centuries, and the more simple in the 20th century.
One such simple document, signed in 1895 between a French lieutenant and the king of the Bafilo ethnic group in modern-day Benin, gives an insight into French colonial presence in Africa.
It was signed in the context of a rivality of two colonial empires, the Great Britain and the France.
We're at the height of the colonial period, of course, late 19th century.
It's a rivality about territories in Africa.
And what we can see here, in terms of the signatures, we
have the chief of Bafilo was a cross, not a signature, but a cross, and it is very significant to see the difference of levels of achievement of or conclusions of peace.
The chief was signing a kind of allegiance to the French?
Yes, maybe.
This exhibition also shows the horrors of war, though, doesn't it, Gail? We're in front of a painting which is basically a pile of skulls with birds of prey coming down and probably picking out what remains.
It was a painting by Verech Chagin. He was a Russian painter. He was recruited by the army, the Russian army, and he was very implicated in the denunciation of conflicts, of war. And this painting, Apotheosis of War. It was like a modern allegory to defend the ideal of peace.
I'm from Norway. Yes.
Norway, a country with a long tradition of negotiating peace.
Negotiations, yes. That's what it's all about, yes.
Did you know that France had conserved so many documents, so many treaties, and in such an incredible state? Were you aware of this sort of heritage?
Well, you know, not necessarily all of it, but I know that there's been a great peace movement in France all the time, all the way from the revolution till today. And watching the news home, you hear about rebels and 1968, but also diplomacy is great. And so this is a kind of a United Nations exhibition in a way. It comes down to let's sit down and be friends and negotiate and see what it turns out to be, I think.
You can always hope.
I can always hope. We have to hope. That's what life's about, isn't it? Yeah.
The exhibition Art de la Paix, The Art of Peace, runs at Paris's Petit Palais through to the 15th of January. For Culture in France, I'm Alison Hurd.